Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Call these your revelation sheets. So I have there's an explanation for each of the verses. Of the 16 verses, there's some that are connected together. But verse 1 is a declaration, verse 2 is a proclamation, then deliverance, divine protection, divine confidence, a witness to the Lord's justice. Verse 9 and 10 is a condition and a promise, a fortified covering and protection. Verse 13 is an authority, a militant authority, authority with the Lord's protection. And 14 is condition and response to our love, God's response to our allegiance to Him, and divine fulfillment. So as we make our way through Psalm 91 today, if the Lord just puts something on your heart to write down, if there's something that you get in these verses, then you can go ahead and write those in that place. You know, sometimes life is life, you know, and life just happens. And sometimes we just really need to turn to the Word and let the Word of the Lord guide us through life. And stuff just happens, and sometimes we just, we live in such uncertain times. We live in crazy times right now. And sometimes the only thing that makes sense is His Word. And I love how the Word is alive and active, and how maybe a familiar verse that we've read 1,000 times, on one particular day, it speaks something new and afresh that only the Word of the Lord could do. So sometimes through life we need anchor verses. And those are ones that, something that we put our hat on, and that we won't be moved or changed from our position or our stance. So I call those anchor verses. And sometimes we need a handle verse. A handle verse is something that we can hold on to, either a truth or a promise from the Lord. No matter what we face, we can hold on to His Word. So I call those handle verses. Sometimes we need power verses. We need a dose of God's power, of truth to hold on to, just to hold on. So sometimes we just need His power. And sometimes we need a crutch verse. A crutch verse is a verse that holds me up when I need support and I need help. It just kind of holds me there. And sometimes we need hope verses. Scriptures that give me a great hope in situations when I would... Then there's those trust verses. Verses that ignite the trust that I have in the Lord. Then there's those Father verses. Verses that just let me rely on my Heavenly Father as Father. And all of those I find in Psalm 91. That's what it does. That's what Psalm 91 does for me. It gives me all those things. Psalm 91 reveals His ways to me. You know, I need to know the ways of the Lord. You see, when everyone has a way about them, and the way about us is the essence of who we are. How many times have we heard, well, that's just the way they are. That's just the way they are. And so sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes maybe not. But sometimes it's the way about us is who we are and how we hold ourselves and what our stance is, you know. And then it's the way about someone is our nature. It's the essential character and the quality of who we are. And Psalm 103:7, it says, "The Lord made His ways known to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel." You see, Moses knew God for who He is. He knew God intimately. I mean, I still can't even imagine what that looked like when Moses had to veil his face because of the glory of the Lord on him. I don't think any movie can depict what that really, really was like. But Israel, they looked to what God did. They looked to His miracles. They looked to the stuff that He did. And that gave them kind of a twisted view of God's miracles, because they saw God's miracles as temporary solutions to their current problem rather than an almighty God who cares about a covenant relationship with them. They just went from one miracle to the next, and the minute the miracle was done, they found themselves grumbling again. You know, oh God, why'd You leave us out here? You know, so do the times that we live in cause us to do things God's way or our own way? We have to decide that. You know, and this current election is really driving a lot of people crazy. You know, I wish I would hear more that it was driving people to prayer rather than driving them crazy. But I asked the Lord one day, I said, Lord, I'm going to turn the TV off. I'm not going to watch the news. Can you just tell me how to pray? And I felt the Lord say, pray for my truth. He said, because in the candidates, the truth will do one of two things. It will either validate them or it will expose them. I said, Lord, I can do that. I like that, Lord. I'm just going to pray your truth and your truth come forth. And so that's given me a lot of peace in this election just to be able to pray. But, you know, we live in such uncertain times. The global economy, it feels like one country goes under, it's like the whole global economy is going to go under. And, you know, I heard there's so many states near bankruptcy, all these things. If we look at the state of our economy, it's like, don't even want to look there. So that's why we have to look to the Lord and look to him and trust in him. You know, I find great comfort in Malachi 3:6, where it says, I, the Lord, do not change. You know, our banking system has changed, our economy changes, everything. We're in such a midst of change. We're in the midst of a president change soon. All these things change, and it makes us crazy, makes us so uncertain. We're not sure of things, but we are sure that I, the Lord, do not change. I find such great comfort and strength in that verse. So I just want to look at Psalm 91, make our way through it today, and just look at some of the assurances that we can rely on in a God that is certain in uncertain times. You know, all the different things that Israel went through, all the times they were faced with battles, all the times their enemies were coming against them, and the Lord was there. And throughout Scripture, the Lord is there for his people. So we're going to look at his promise, his power, and his protection today. So I'm particularly going to read out of, start off each one in the NASB, but I've got some other, I'm going to be in the Complete Jewish Bible, I'm going to be in the Amplified, I'm going to look at the Message too, and this particular psalm, the Message, is quite interesting. One of the things that's interesting about Psalm 91, we have currently some good friends of ours, Mike and Angela Hirsch, who have Light to Israel Ministry. They live in Israel, and they're currently in our home for a few days, and it's always such a blessing to have them in our home, and just talking about some things, and Mike asked me what I was speaking about tonight, and I told him, he said, oh, that's an interesting psalm. He said, did you know that in a, some way of a burial, this psalm is read or sang or declared some way seven times at every Jewish funeral? So he had a friend that was in his 50s. He was jogging, and he died from a heart attack. And he was like a youth leader and stuff. So he said at his funeral, the place of burial was pretty far from the road as far as the hearse would go. So all the youth grabbed his casket, and they began to walk with this casket a great distance to his grave. And the youth sang Psalm 91 seven times in a downpour. The minute they got to the grave and they were done with the seventh time, it stopped raining. So it was just really interesting that he said sometimes they'll sing it. Sometimes people will recite it in Hebrew. Other times they'll do it in different versions. But in some formation, it's done seven times. I found that very fascinating. So let's look at verse 1. So he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. In some places, this could be conditional. Some versions say, if you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, the secret place, you'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty. If you dwell, you know, there's that promise. If you do this, then this will happen for you. So if you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, then you'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The Complete Jewish Bible says, you who spend your nights in the shadow of Shaddai. See, the shadow is wherever a person gives a shadow is, it's close. So if we're under the shadow of the Almighty, we're really close to him. We have to be really close to him to be under his shadow. The Amplified says, you shall remain stable and fixed. Stability comes to our lives from a time spent in a secret place. When we abide with the Lord in that shelter of the Most High, when we spend time with him, you know, then there's stability that comes from that, that only can come from that. That's where we give up all our fears, we give up our concerns, we give up all our stuff. When we are in that secret place with the Lord, that's what happens. And then there's promises to those who are in the secret place of the Lord. You know, how do you get to know him? And the thing that about the Lord is he does not forget his promises. So if we're going to be dwelling in the shelter of the Most High and we'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty, That's a promise to us. And the Lord does not forget his promises. So that's something that we can count on. So we will abide in his shadow. Verse 2 is a proclamation. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. We're proclaiming this, my God in whom I trust. So on him. So in the Amplified, it says, on him who I lean on and rely upon, and in him I confidently trust. See, God is the ultimate source of our trust. The Message Bible says, I trust in you, God, and I'm safe. Throughout the Psalms, it's my God in whom I trust. So what percentage of your life are you trusting with the Lord? You know, a lot of times we say, man, I trust the Lord with everything, but are we really? I mean, have we given him fully everything? Does he have access to everything in our lives? Does he have access to our finances? Joyce Meyer did a great message one time, and I love the name of it. It was called, Is Your Wallet Saved? And people would, how God would ask people to do radical stuff to give money away, and people wouldn't. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't trust God in that level. So do we say we trust God with our finances, but we're not willing to give it away in obedience when he asks us to? Or just various things. Are we willing to trust God with our children, with our relationships, with our jobs, with our not having a job? Do we trust God to take care of us in the midst of not having a job? So what is the percentage of our lives? You know, that's something to ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, can you show me what it is that I'm not trusting you with? And hold on, because he'll reveal that to you. Then you have a decision to make. When the Holy Spirit reveals that to you, you have a decision to make. Are you still going to hold on to it, or is that the point when you really give that over to the Lord? When we put things in the Lord's hands, do we leave them there? Or do they grow Velcro when they stick back to us and we take them back, you know? And so, oh, Lord, I just trust you with that. Lord, I'm putting that in your hands. And then 30 minutes later, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, what am I going to do about that? You know, so when we trust God, when we say we're giving him something, we really need to be sincere. And do we really trust him to take care of it in his way and not our way? Sometimes we want to give God a memo and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this, but this is how I think you should play it out. Lord, would you take my recommendation and how you should work this out for me? And that doesn't always go real well. Verse 3 is under the heading of deliverance. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. The Jewish Bible says, from the trap of the hunter and the plague of calamities. The Message Bible says, he rescues you from hidden traps and shields you from deadly hazards. I told the story before, but it applies here, so say it again. I was coming home from a church meeting one time. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and it was one of those rainy nights that doesn't feel like your lights are on. You know, you got to turn your lights off to make sure that they're on. You can't hardly see. It's windy. I was tired, and I came up Sample and Mayflower. It's a pretty crazy intersection, pretty busy intersection, and I'm coming down Sample, and I stopped at a red light, and the light was green, and I heard the Lord say, stop. Stop. I said, but Lord, the light's green. And just in that moment, a big old white Cadillac with no lights on came from my left to my right, probably going about 100 miles an hour. And it was so close to me that my car shook. And I just sat there for a second. And I realized in that moment, so here, he shields you from deadly hazards. You know, in that moment, I would have been killed instantly because it would have hit me right in my dorm. It was a big old car. That would have been it, right in that moment. So I know that. But here's the thing. I stopped. I questioned it, but I didn't go. And so there's times when I wonder that obedience and that disobedience, it's life and death. Disobedience and obedience sometimes is life and death to us. In that moment, it was life to me. So we have to have confidence in the Lord's protection. I wonder what it's going to be like when we get to glory and we see all those videos of the times when he saved our lives and we never knew. We never even knew the times he spent that in glory. When we go, oh man, I forgot I left something on in the house. And we go back and then we realize that in glory, we realize that if we would have left that thing plugged in and we would have went down the road, something tragically would have happened. Those things are up to God's sovereignty and we just don't know. But he delivers us from trouble. He gives us life. He's our deliverer. It's God's heart and his nature to deliver us. He's our rescuer. It's his nature to say, I got this. You know, I got this for you. I got your back. I have your life. Obey me and it'll go well with you. Verse 4 is divine protection. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. In the Jewish Bible, it says, his truth is a shield and protection. The Message Bible says, his huge outstretched arms protect you. I love that. The Lord covers us when we don't even realize it. You know, I think about Daniel in the lion's den. You know, we all, you know, when we're little kids, we hear that story. We sing little songs around it. But if you really look at that story, that was absolutely amazing. And the thing about King Darius, he says, you know, he hopes that Daniel's God saves him. And something that we don't always see all the time, he fasted. They didn't fast back then. But that king fasted that Daniel's God would spare him. And I just don't think anything can do enough justice to see, you know, what were those lions doing? Was he like, were they like sleeping on his lap? You know, was he like playing with them? You know, what was that look? What did that look like when they opened it up and realized that he had not been eaten? You know, most of the time when they dropped somebody in there, they were just devoured in a moment. You know, so for him to not come to any harm, then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love those guys because they said, even if our God doesn't save us, we won't bow down to you. So they didn't cross the line. They had a line in the sand, they had a standard, and they stood for it. We have to have that standard and know that God's going to protect us in that. We can stand on his truth. He sets us free from so many things. Ideals, old mindsets, own beliefs, unbelief. His truth dispels all darkness of lies in our lives. God's truth comes in, and his divine protection, he protects us from the lies that the enemy tries to throw our way. Verse 5 and 6, divine confidence. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. The Jewish Bible says, the plague that roams in the dark, or the scourge that wreaks havoc at noon. The Message Bible just says, fear nothing. Fear nothing. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's a promise and divine covering. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I wonder how many times the enemy's tried to put stuff against us when God has just thwarted it. Throughout his word, the enemies of Israel came against them, but God just thwarted their plans. He caused confusion in some camps, turned them against each other. You wonder how many times that we've been protected from stuff that we're unaware of, that we're completely unaware of. But our confidence is fully in the Lord. Our confidence needs to be fully in the Lord and in nothing else. Just to trust him fully for everything, absolutely for everything. That our divine confidence comes in him and know that he has our back. You know, he's gifted us. He's given us spiritual gifts. He trusts us to use them. You know, we're on a journey. And sometimes we make mistakes and sometimes we do stuff, but God is always drawing us into that place of having confidence in him. We might have put our confidence in other stuff and we've gotten burned. We might put our confidence in jobs, confidence in people and other things, and it didn't work out. And then we're a little bit rattled by that. But God doesn't point the finger at us. He draws us back into this place of us having our confidence in him. Amen. Verse 7 and 8, a witness to the Lord's justice. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You only look on your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. The complete Jewish Bible says it won't come near you. Keep your eyes open and see how the wicked are punished. And the Amplified says, only a spectator shall you be. You are inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High as you witness the reward of the wicked. The Message Bible says, they drop like flies right and left, and no harm even grazes you. But I love the Amplified, where it says, you are inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. If we're inaccessible in that secret place where we are with the Lord, if we're inaccessible in that place of praying and crying out to the Lord in the secret place where no one knows where we're at, but we're crying out to the Lord and we're inaccessible to the enemy, why would we not spend more time there? If this word says we're inaccessible there, that the enemy can't mess with us there. Sometimes we pray for a couple minutes and we're off on our way. Sometimes we really need to camp in that place with the Lord. So we're a witness to the Lord's justice. His justice is so sovereign, but it doesn't always make sense to us. Why his mercy doesn't always make sense to us. There was a lot of people who were really mad at the fact that Ted Bundy got saved. A lot of people thought he should burn in hell for all of eternity, for three eternities, and especially the family. But I listened to the interview right before he was executed with Dr. Dobson, and it was really interesting how he said, if you really believe grace, then you really believe that someone like me can get saved. He said, maybe you don't feel that it's justice, but it's God's justice. He said, not ours. He said, man's justice, there's no punishment for me that would fit what I've done. But in God's justice, he said that the cross was enough. His death and resurrection, his blood was enough for me. And so that was an amazing testimony. If you can ever listen to that online, it'll really drive home that whole thing. So there's times when we get to witness the Lord's justice. Sometimes we want revenge, but his word says it's not ours to avenge. You know, sometimes we really want someone to feel time. Sometimes feel, but we have to trust the Lord's justice. And sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it's years to leave that in his hands for him to do what he's going to do. And sometimes that's pretty hard. But a friend of mine came to me one day. He ended up stopping in this neighborhood. He stopped the fight, and somehow it turned on him, and he ended up with charges and all this stuff and was facing all kinds of weird stuff. So we got together and we prayed, and we just said, Lord, we're coming into your courtroom, Lord. We said, we're coming into the courts of the Lord. You're the God of justice. We're appealing to your justice in this case, Lord. If there's something that's not right, if there's something that the enemy's trying to come against him, we just put everything in the Lord's hands, and we committed it to the Lord. He got home, and an hour later, he got a call from the other guy's lawyer, and they dropped all the charges. And he called me up, and he was like, the phone was shaking. And I said, well, didn't you believe what we were doing? Didn't you believe in the prayer? But that was a pretty quick turnaround. And so, you know, that particular case really changed the way that we pray together, and it really changed the way that I pray. Because I saw, so here was, we appealed to the courts, God's court, and it manifested in a human court. It manifested with a lawyer calling him up saying, drop all charges. And so it was absolutely amazing to see, to witness the Lord's justice in that way. Verse 9 and 10, a condition and a promise. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. The Lord keeps evil from us. It's his nature to do so. And the Complete Jewish Bible says, no disaster will happen to you. No calamity will happen to you. You know, I think about a few years ago, there was that really bad tornado that hit Tuscaloosa. It was really bad. There was several people that were killed in that. And I was watching the Weather Channel, and they showed this. They popped in, and they interviewed this pastor. He was a young pastor, and probably in his 30s. And the camera did like a 360 span around their property. And everything was devastated. But their church was fine, their parking lot, their shrubs in front of their place, the trees and everything, no leaves or branches off their trees. And there was one power line that kind of just went through, and they had power and everything. And the humility of that pastor really struck me. He just said, well, God had a divine purpose. God had a divine purpose in his protection for us. He said, but we don't take this lightly. He said, we're making, because we have heat and stuff, they made themselves a shelter. In the parking lot, he organized for people to bring tarps and everything. They became a supply place, and from that place, they went out into the community. And so he took that as from the Lord that they protected him. You know, there wasn't an arrogant bone in him. You know, he could have really gone that way, but he didn't. He just looked at it as there's so many people in our neighborhoods that have been devastated, and for God's sovereign purpose. But it was really funny because the guys in the Weather Channel came back to the guys, and they're like, they really didn't know what to do with it. They really didn't. It was like, you know, of course you didn't see that on CNN and all the big stations. I had to see it on the Weather Channel, but at least it was a national channel. But it was really funny because those guys didn't know what to do with that. But to be able to see how the Lord really came through for them, and it was just absolutely amazing. I think about, too, in Exodus 10, about the plagues of darkness, and where all the sons of Israel had their light in their dwellings, and the Egyptians didn't. I bet that just really did something to those Egyptians. Can you imagine? Look at those guys. They got light over there. You know, what was that like for them? You know, and so I don't have a generator, but I'd love to have Jesus my generator. And some days the power goes out, two squirrels bump in my neighbor and the power goes out. And I'd love to have my power and someone say, hey, Stan, get a generator. Yeah, it's Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool if your whole neighborhood was out and you had power and you didn't have a generator? Wouldn't that be like cool? That's exactly what it was like for them, for the Israelites. That's what it was like. They kept living as if just day to day. They were not affected. God kept them going. So I just think that would be really cool. I would love that. So, you know, the Lord, his condition and his promise that no evil will befall you, no plague will come near your tent. I worked in a factory for about 25 years, and God's grace, my wife and a few other ladies travailed and prayed me out of that place. But it was a tough place at times. And I was not a Christian for many years, and it's even tougher to transition from a non-Christian with a foul mouth and the best dirty jokes to a guy who is following the Lord, and overnight, really, and it was quite a journey, especially at the beginning. But there was one guy particularly that he ended up making some wrong choices and was gloating in the fact that he can have a church position and make all these really bad choices. And said, I could do all the things that you do in a church, and I get to do all that I want to do. And I said, man, you are treading in a real dangerous place. And it was at that time where my wife didn't know him. She never met him. And she had a 3-page warning from the Lord for him. And I gave it to him. And I said, just want to tell you, I felt like those guys who serve those things. You've been served, you know. And you've been served a warning from the Lord. He goes, I don't want this. I said, I'm just a server. You need to read this. And then so about an hour later, we had a break. And I would go back where they kept a lot of the big old things of bands of corrugated. They were probably a couple thousand pounds a piece. And they had them stacked 3 high. And for some reason, this one was stacked 4 high, and they never really did that before. But I was going to read some scripture, and I was so tired. I said, Lord, I just got to close my eyes for a minute. And so I had my coat, and I made a pillow, and I felt like the Lord said, you need to get up, and you need to go over there, and you need to read Psalm 121, and that's about the protection of the Lord. He watches your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. And I'm reading that scripture, and I left my coat laying there, and that top bundle comes loose. It comes crashing down right where I was. And the guy that I had just given the warning to the Lord, from the Lord to, he comes running. He sees my coat there, and everything inside of me wanted to go, you know? I couldn't do it, though. I couldn't do it. But he looked at me. I said, I'm over here. I'm okay. I said, let me read you what I just read. And I read that to him. And then he just walked away. But eventually, the Lord had me give him another scripture. How many of you would not want to give a scripture to the person that's that scripture that says, "Surely you'll die in your sin"? I did not want to deliver that message. I was like, I fought the Lord for a whole day. Finally, I just obeyed and I gave it to him. And then a few days later, he got fired. And I hadn't seen him in years. And I thought, man, I don't know whatever happened to this guy. And so fast forward, gosh, maybe 20 years? No, 15 years. 15 years hadn't seen him. I'm in line at Kroger's, just at the desk, and I didn't recognize he was in front of me. And he turned around, and I said, "Oh!" And I put his face in my hands, and I said, "You're alive." You know, there's times when you don't need small talk with people. When you've gotten a warning from the Lord, and you don't see that person, he knew and I knew the way we left it. And I had not heard what had happened to him. Well, I knew, I had heard that he got divorced and other things. But he looked at me and he said, "Yes, I am alive." And he said, "And you know, I took that warning seriously." He said, "I was living recklessly for a while, but that warning never left me." And he says, "And I finally turned my life around." And he said, "And unfortunately, I was divorced." He said, "But I sought out and I married a godly woman." And he said, in 2 days, my son is going to preach his first sermon. I said, "You go to that church, you sit in the front row, and don't you dare fall asleep." Because through that whole process of time, his kids still were following the Lord. And I thought that was such God's grace for him. But since that time, he's been helping his parents more, so I see him more often. And every time I see him, I say, "Still alive. You're still alive." But it's just one of those things where it was a condition and a promise, you know, and there was a, God had a warning for him, and he had a choice to make, you know, and so he went on the side of the Lord, and so he entered into the promises of the Lord. It was just absolutely amazing to see his story that he went after that. Verse 11 and 12, fortified covering and protection. "For he will give angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They'll bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone." The Jewish Bible says he orders his angels to care for you and guard you wherever you go. The Message Bible says it's their job to keep you from falling. You know, and I find this interesting because this is one of the passages that Satan quoted when he was trying to tempt Jesus. And I have a lot of trees around my house, and my wife doesn't like it that much, but I get up on the roof quite a bit and clean the eaves and blow stuff off. And I'm not as limber and nimble as I used to be when I was younger, so it's a little bit. She wants me to let her know when I'm on the roof and when I come down. And one day she was gone. I said, "You know, I just got to go up there and just do this one thing, you know." And so I didn't realize that I had stepped in a doggy surprise. So when I got up on the roof, on a very still day, I got up on the roof and I put all my weight on that foot that had dog surprise on it. And then when I let go of the other foot, I'm sliding off the roof. And I'm planning, there's a bush down there, and I'm planning my descent to that bush. Maybe at least I won't break both arms if I hit this bush first. And I just said, "Oh, Lord." All of a sudden, this huge gust of wind came. Windy today for me to catch my balance. And I stood back and I said, "Wait a minute, it's not windy today." So just with that, you know, there's power in crying out to him just in that moment. Then I had to decide, do I tell my wife or not? Do I tell her my disobedience to her, but a miracle of the Lord? Yeah, she wasn't impressed. She was impressed with the Lord, but I told you I don't want you up there. Yeah, that would have been bad. Would have been really bad. Verse 13. Authority, militant authority. "You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion. The serpent you will trample down." It's authority with the Lord's protection. Do we really walk in the authority that the Lord has given us? I find that as I work with people and talk with people as a pastor and as a Christian, that the authority that we have as Christians is one of the most misunderstood things. It's one of the most things I think that people don't access, and that we don't take our right to. I don't think we quite understand and get the authority that we have. you know, he says, and that we need to pray with authority. The Lord's given us, you know, he says, you have not because you ask not. So do we pray with that kind of authority, with the confidence in the Lord that he's going to answer us when we pray that way? And, you know, if most of us are honest, I think we've had authority issues with parents and coaches and teachers and people in authority over us who have misused their authority. So we kind of like feel like, okay, is God going to be like this teacher who misused their authority? So we kind of find our way in this weird place with authority. But we really need to study our authority and be able to walk in the fullness of what we have and all that God has given to us and trust his authority that he's given to us. And, you know, there's... The Lord just recently gave me an analogy like this, and I've used this part before. So if a policeman pulls you over, why does he have the right to pull you over? Because he's been given that authority, right? But what if he pulled you over, then he just came, and he just stood by your window? And he didn't do anything else. So does he have, what's he doing with his authority? He's not seeing it all the way through. If he's going to see his authority all the way through, then he's going to ask for your license, your registration, and all those things, and then he's going to decide if you're, you know, going to get a ticket or whatever. He sees it all the way through. So there's times we as Christians start off in our authority, but we don't see it all the way through. We need to pray something all the way through. We need to declare it all the way through. I think sometimes we stop in the middle of it. And there's times when the Lord gives us an assignment. And there's always an authority that comes with assignment. If the Lord is wanting you to go pray for someone, or if he's wanting you to go do something, he's given you authority within that assignment. And we have to realize that, and we have to know that, and we have to be confident in that. An example of that, Barbara Yoder, she's heads an intercession ministry up by Ann Arbor. Well, the Lord called her to have three worship nights in Dearborn, which is a heavy, heavy Muslim community now, like overrun, really. It's almost fully Muslim. And so he called her to go to the Civic Center. He didn't want a higher state policeman as protection. He just wanted high praise. He didn't want a speaker. He didn't want a teacher. He didn't want anything declared. He wanted high praise. Three different dates. After the first one, a lot of people were going, you know, and she could tell there was a lot of Muslim imams there. There was a lot of Muslim people there checking this thing out. Like, what is this woman doing? But she was within the scope of her authority, within a task that God has had her do. But there's so many of her friends were saying, we should have this teacher come and this preacher, and we should do this and we should do that. And she's like, no, we're not going to do it. She said, we're having high praise because that's the authority that we're walking in, because that is the assignment that God gave us. If we go outside of that assignment, then we risk the enemy getting the best of us because we're outside of the scope of our authority from the assignment that the Lord has given to us. So if the Lord gives you an assignment, know that he gives you the authority to walk that assignment out and be confident in that authority and see it all the way through. See it all the way through. Don't just stand by the window as a policeman and just checking out the weather because you don't have anything to do with these people that you pulled over. But you got to see it all the way through. See your authority all the way through. Then there's the last few verses, it shifts, and the Lord speaks in first person. And there's six times the Lord says, I will. So I want us to go through these last few verses, and we're going to look at the power of the I wills. Verse 14, it's a condition, a response to our love. Because he loves me, says the Lord, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. The complete Jewish Bible says, because he loves me, I will rescue him. Because he knows my name, I will protect him. The Message Bible says, if you hold on to me for dear life, I'll get you out of any trouble. Is that a good one or what? If you hold on to me for dear life, I'll get you out of any trouble. You know, I think about those, like those rescuers who go down to get somebody out of water and they're slipping away. Those people are hanging on to those guys' feet with everything they got. And so that's kind of the picture I have, you know, just to hang on to the Lord for dear life. He'll get us out of any trouble. You know, it's the benefit of knowing the name of Jesus. Jesus is the most powerful and most controversial name in our times. You could talk about God, and say this and that. But the minute you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, it's a game changer for most people. It's a game changer. But it says, because he knows my name. You know, there's so much power in the name of Jesus. There's so much power. If you have one breath left, use it on the name of Jesus. You know, if you're in a situation and you got, you know, I was on the roof. I said, oh, Lord. Just say Jesus, and there's so much power released in that name in that moment. Verse 15 says, God responds to our allegiance to him. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. The Message Bible says, I love this. I'll rescue you and throw you a party. That's their version of honor him. I love that. I'll rescue you and then I'll throw you a party. God wants us to call upon him. It says, if he calls upon me, there's a condition. If you call upon me, I'll answer you. But if we don't call upon him, we're on our own. So if we call upon him, he'll answer us. You know, we do something and God does something. I love in James, this is James 4, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It's up to us first. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's our response and God's response. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I'll answer you. I love that we don't have to call upon the Lord and we get his voicemail. You've reached the Lord. Press 1 if you want answer prayer. Press 2 if you're in crisis. Press 3 if you need provision. Press 4, you know, and I'll have my angels get back to you when they have time. You know, I'm so glad that we don't have a voicemail like that from the Lord, that we call upon him and he answers us. You know, things move in the spiritual realm when we call upon the Lord. Our calling out to the Lord changes everything. It changes the spiritual atmosphere in your home. It changes the spiritual atmosphere in everywhere you are. And remember one time, influence, calling upon the Lord changes everything. Remember one time I went to the owner of the shop when I was working in the factory after I was trying to get out of it like all day from the Lord, but he wouldn't let me out of it. So I went and said, can we pray at the flagpole tomorrow during our break? But that means we'll have to come through the office a little bit. And he goes, I don't want a whole bunch of people traipsing through the office to go out and pray. And I said, are you hearing yourself? How many people you think are really going to come through here and pray? He goes, oh, you got a point there. All right. Well, there ended up being 4 of us. One guy was he was a new Christian. I led him to the Lord. He was a big muscle guy. He goes, I'll pray over here by the flagpole, but I don't want nobody touching my hands. You know. But then it was really funny. We're around a flagpole, and we're crying out. Way down the way, there was a garage over there, and all the rest of the guys were out there looking to see who's at the flagpole praying. You know, but it's crying out to the Lord, and it's changing your atmosphere. And there was another time when the Lord had me go to that boss official. You know, I feel like the Lord wants you to put a prayer room in this factory. He says, you're a union official. You know we can't do that. I said, I'm a union official, and I know you can do that. I said, don't you hide behind the union. He said, where would I put it? I said, I just cleaned out the loft upstairs above the machine shop. That'd be a great place for that prayer room. He says, I don't think I can do it. I said, just know that I think the Lord wants to change the atmosphere of this factory. And I think he wants to start with a prayer room that you need to set up. He says, I can't do it. I says, well, that's between you and the Lord. But I did my part. And years later, I hear about things in that place. And I wonder, what would it have been like if he would have done that, to change the atmosphere, have a place to call upon the Lord, to call upon him and change the spiritual atmosphere around you. Just calling upon the Lord changes everything. It changes everything. Verse 16, divine fulfillment. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. The Message says, I'll give you a long life. I'll give you a long drink of salvation. Isn't that great? He numbers our days and we can stand on his promises. The Lord's ultimate promise to us that we know that we can have salvation in him. God is a God of promise. It's part of his nature. And he loves to fulfill his promises. How many of you have promises from the Lord, either through his word or through the Holy Spirit, that haven't come to pass yet? They're coming. They're coming because he's a promise-fulfilling God. They're coming, and you could stand on that. It's in his perfect timing, but they're coming. He told me years ago to give both my brothers a Bible, and I marked all the many places of love. And he said, my older brother, he said, he will come and the other one will follow. Well, my older brother, threw that Bible sat by his nightstand for a year. And finally, it bugged him so much to know what were those parts of the Bible that stand marked. And they were all about love, and that led him to the Lord. My other brothers had that Bible, same markings for 20 years. And he hasn't come yet. But it's a promise. Your one brother will come and the other one will follow. I'm standing on that. He will follow. He will come one day. So every one of you who raised your hand, that promise is coming. It's on the way because he is a promise-fulfilling God. And he's going to do it. Amen? In all these verses, we see his promises. We see his power. We see his protection, his provision, his fathering to us. We see his goodness, his faithfulness, his truth, his love to us. We see a God who loves us and desires us to pursue him. And he responds to that pursuit and love with his fathering over us. I, the Lord, do not change. As the world blames God for stuff, every day people, they make terrible decisions. Things go bust and they blame God for it. That drives me a little crazy. But, you know, that's just the way that they are, because they don't understand an awesome, sovereign, powerful God who loves us and gives these promises to us. Hey, Russ, you want to come and play a little bit? I just want us to have a time of prayer. I just really would love to pray for some of you. I just feel like, thank you. I would love, if there's those promises that the Lord has given to you, and it's hard to hold on without that promise coming, then I just ask that you would come and let us agree with you for that promise of the Lord, and let us pray with you just to let the Lord do the work that he's going to do. Or if there's something that you need God's power in your life, or if there's protection that you need in your life, if you feel like there's something that you need, if something has spoken to you throughout this psalm, if something that the Lord is putting his finger on, and then you just want prayer for that, I just ask that you would come up and allow our ministry team to agree with you and pray with you over these things. So, Lord, we thank you for Psalm 91, God. We thank you, Lord, for your declaration, your proclamation, your deliverance, your divine protection, your divine confidence in you. We thank you, Lord, that we can witness your justice, your conditions and your promises, your fortified covering and protection over us, God. We thank you for your authority in our lives, God. We thank you for our response to your love, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can have allegiance to you, God, in your divine fulfillment of salvation in our lives, God. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can have anchor verses and handle verses and power verses and crutch verses and hope and trust and fathering verses in Psalm 91 alone, God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Give you thanks, Lord. You're a big God. You're such a big God. You do big things and great things. Trust you today, God. We thank you for the promises that are coming to pass in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, that you don't change. You're the same today, tomorrow, and forever, God. You don't change. We thank you, Lord, that your love doesn't change. Your plan for salvation through Jesus doesn't change. It's a finished work. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. We trust you today, Lord. This is our declaration tonight, God. We trust you, Lord. We trust you.
Jesus. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Just going to pray down here for a little bit, but just going to dismiss the rest of you, and you can go. So, Lord, we just thank you for this night. Lord, I ask your blessing on everyone that's come, and your blessing on their coming and their going.